Hello friends, before we get started on this next amazing episode, I just wanted to give a short shout out to our team at Metalcloak, the group that makes this podcast possible. From engineering to production, from marketing to sales, from accounting to HR, every member of the Metalcloak family works diligently every day to bring some of the world's best products to the off-road enthusiast. Designed, engineered, proven, Metalcloak. That is not just a clever cadence written by me, but a true statement of what we do every day and why we truly appreciate each and every one of you. If you are looking for something for your Jeep, Ram, Bronco, or Toyota, give us a try. We are here to help. And now, on to another amazing episode of the Modern Jeeper Show.
I know there's gators in Florida, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Till we came up on one
that didn't look even I thought was a tree. Like you saw, there were trees everywhere, like obstacles to go around, and it wasn't moving. I'm like, I don't think that's one until I bumped it, and it was an 8-foot giant, big alligator. You want to see
mad?
Somebody freak the out?
The Modern Jeeper Show, the show about Jeeps, Jeeping, and Jeepers.
Hello, Modern Jeepers. Mattson from Metalcloak here, and welcome to episode number 116 of the Modern Jeeper Show, the show about Jeeps, Jeeping, and Jeepers. Corey and Jesse are joining me from Panama City Beach on the 12th floor of their beachside resort hotel as they are getting ready for the last event of their Florida adventure, the Florida Jeep Jam. You can learn more about that event on last week's episode. This week, we go a bit into geopolitics, the economics of scarcity, failing education, rugged individualism, the merchants of chaos, the $15 fast food lunch, and hitting alligators with kayaks. And our tech tip of the week is all about GMRS, what it is, how it works, and why we are so darn impressed with this not-so-new mobile radio technology. By the way, if you wonder what may be going on at times, you can see the full video in all its glory at youtube.com/modernjeeper. As always, we are extremely grateful to our supporters and friends, including Warren Winches, Raceline Wheels, Best Top, Milestar Tires, Rugged Radios, Adventure Rack Systems, and of course, Metalcloak. So, sit back, relax with a cold one, and enjoy episode number 116 of the Modern Jeeper Show. Well, hey, Modern Jeepers, it's another episode of the Modern Jeeper Show with me, Mattson from Metalcloak, and Mr. Modern Jeeper, Corey Osborne.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, and Rockstar Jeep Girl, Jesse.
Hi.
Hi. Had to hit the button back here to get the videos going, because, you know, it doesn't do any good to have videos back there. They just sit there going... Although that's kind of appropriate. So right now it just says Moab, because that's like heavy on your list, huh? That's like
yes,
next.
Absolutely.
It's like coming up. It almost feels like it's tomorrow.
You know, it was kind of funny because Jesse and I were having a conversation earlier, and it was in regards to how long have we not been home?
Home?
She said, it doesn't feel like we've been gone at all. And I said, well, you know, tomorrow or Thursday will be like 4 weeks.
Yeah, it's not long. What is home? Home is where
that's
the
right.
heart is.
I'm just home. Gonna smile.
Home is where the heart is.
That's right.
Home is where the heart is.
Nobody created your schedule. Listen, buddy, nobody created your schedule but you.
I know. And
I did.
Yeah, it's her fault.
Oh, it's your fault. You wanted to do everything.
You know what's
she's young, it's novel. She's young, it's new to her. Right. It's kind of like back in, you know, 2015, it was all new for you. And actually, I probably would have been more exciting for you if you had started working for us before you started working for that other guy, because then it would have really been a new for you.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know what, though? It's still a new thing. And everywhere we go and the people we meet, it's always been fun. We wouldn't be out here if it wasn't fun. But I have this real weird OCD thing where I don't relax well, and to have a couple of days where it's like nothing going on.
Man. I mean, we have stuff to do. Don't get me wrong. We get up every morning and do things and take phone calls and messages all day. And
which we'll talk about some of that.
What floor are you on?
12.
We're on the 12th floor of the Holiday Inn Resort in Panama City Beach.
Okay, so you can sit on the balcony and just watch the waves for hours.
Yes.
And you choose not to.
Yeah, right.
Well, we've been watching the...
I'll switch with you. Jesse, you mind if I go cross-country with you? Because
sure.
I'm going to make him sit back here at a desk and do work.
Well, I've been watching the Manta Rays play all morning, so...
Really?
Yeah, so there's a couple of groups of Devil Rays that hang out just outside of the resort. Two, like, schools, or I think they call them a mass. A group of Rays is called a mass, I think. But like, five or six of them, and they're good size. They're babies, but they're still 2 feet across.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. And you can actually see them from the hotel balcony.
I got to see them in the water next to my feet today.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Next to your feet.
Yes.
Wow. That's like so cool.
I know.
I thought it was cool.
And you're sitting here going, I got to grit my teeth and just really go.
Hi.
Just the world is just crazy.
Yes.
So the world is crazy.
We're gonna talk a little bit about is all of these episodes. I've always given Madison a hard time because he's always gotten a little bit political, and I think I've been watching too much media.
I had to stop being political because of you. Like, I know. Sending me people's comments and like making me like, go for it, buddy.
Well,
go. You're on.
So just a couple of things. I just have a couple of things. Just a couple.
Okay.
Four. Five. No. Okay. You know
what, I need coffee.
So I had some comments today and some questions about the fuel shortage, and I had to actually go. What are you talking about? Well, yeah, you know, the pipeline, since it was cyber hacked, now there's a fuel shortage, and I kind of thought to myself, well, but the pipeline didn't carry fuel. It carries oil. Mm-hmm. The refineries are still refining. There is no fuel shortage. And then I was corrected. It's actually the truckers. There's not enough truckers to haul the fuel. Yet on the East Coast, here where we're very close to in Florida, gas stations have no fuel.
Because everybody's out hoarding gas.
Because everybody went and bought it all, like toilet paper. Now they're going to go buy all the fuel.
Okay, you're old enough to be around in the 70s, right?
I remember. Yeah.
Remember the 70s? Remember the long lines? I grew up in L.A., okay? Mm-hmm. So long lines because fuel shortages, and you had to go fill it in an hour. I mean, we got life so easy right now. And now what is the average fuel price right now in Florida?
$3. Well, this morning they reported that it was $2.99 a gallon, but it's going to go to $3 over the weekend.
It was already $3.
Isn't $2.99 really close to $3?
I don't know. I'm paying $4 in California.
Yeah.
So screw all of you.
Right. Right.
That's what they make more money coming to the West Coast. So, you know, but even then, California doesn't get its, you know, most of California's oils come in. When I understand, this could have changed over the last, you know, many, many years, because there was a lot of discussion about overseas and all that kind of problem. We get a bunch from South America. Like, a lot of California's oil comes from South America. So, and we still have oil producing areas within California.
Yes.
Right? Old Occidental Petroleum land down there where you were at. Right. So, and so there's still oil being produced here. We have our refineries here. We obviously up and down, you know, Bay Area, there's heavy refineries in that area. But yeah, a lot of our oil comes from South America. So, but it's still, we're paying $4 a gallon for fuel. Now, I think $1.50 or $2 of that all goes to the government, but hey.
Sure. No, I think that I'm so frustrated. In the last couple of days, the media is doing, again, what they do is report fear. They want people to be afraid, and I'm tired of hearing it. And today it was yesterday morning. I heard that there was a report of our military ships reporting firing some warning shots on an Iranian group of ships. They fired 30 warning shots. 30?
Wow.
I saw another report that said there were 3.
Oh, it's just a mistake of a zero. Nobody's going to pay attention to that. We're all too smart.
30 warning shots to me, like, okay, hey, I don't think they get it.
That's a very expensive warning shot.
You're right.
We just fought 30. It was a warning shot that took down the vessel. We're sorry, but
right. How'd that happen?
Took the plane down.
It's stuff like that. It's the jobs report numbers where, from an accounting perspective, it's all about how you want them to read. Mm. And they expected 750,000 jobs to get created, but there were only 200,000 created. But the economy is doing extremely well. So we have states like, I think it's in Wisconsin, where now they're going to eliminate the federal unemployment surplus. They're going to not pay folks to stay home anymore. They're going to provide an incentive to
get a job.
Go back to work.
Right.
So now you're going to get $1,200 if you go get a job. Well, so thinking about this whole fuel thing and how this all works, why doesn't the media just say that there's a shortage of jobs and that everybody then should go get one?
You know, that's smart thinking right there.
Right.
Of course, that would be admitting the fact that there is, you know, there's they'd have to admit some things there that they don't like to admit. I get these emails, a guy named Kevin Kiley here in California, who's been instrumental in fighting our dear Governor Gavin Newsom. And he's the one who took Gavin Newsom to court to try to end his unilateral reign over the state, where he's excluding the legislator from any activities, right? Well, it's funny because we last year had the first ever decline in the overall population of California, losing 187,000 in our population, which actually caused us to lose a congressional seat. Which hasn't happened in California in, 200 years. I don't know. Just forever, right. Mm-hmm. But it's, of course, it's not being reported like that by, the media or anything. It's they ignore the negative. So you got to remember, for all of us out there, the media, merchants of chaos, MOC, yes. Merchants of chaos. They foment and feed out negative because is what we watch. I'm sorry. When you go to a NASCAR race, it's human nature to look for the accident. Mm-hmm. It may not be what you want. It may not be deep down what you desire, but it is human nature for us to look for the accident, to want to see the accident. Ooh, what happened? Right?
That's the only reason I went to hockey games.
Right? Exactly. You want to
see
the fight.
Watch hockey.
So the media knows that. The media knows that if you're out there paying attention to them, if all they did was give you positive news all the time, you couldn't handle it. It would be boring and you're not going to pay attention. But as long as you go and get negative news, oh my God, the world is going to end tomorrow. Well, World of Warcraft, the game was going to end tomorrow, not the actual world, but it's headlines, right? Every time you read a newspaper, look at the headline and actually read the story, that they don't match.
My concern is that I think that we need to be told what to do. And that was never the case. In the last 40 years of my life, the general population, for the most part, didn't need to be told what to do. And I fear that, like, right now, everybody's waiting to tell me what to do. Do I need to go get gas? Do I need to be concerned? Should I go buy toilet paper tomorrow? And I'm kind of like, did we all lose our minds? Like, what happened to freedom of thought, We're in a place, it's a Tuesday, we're recording this podcast. It's packed. All the hotels around here are packed. We've been in Florida for 3.5 weeks. Everywhere is busy. There's no school. I read a report that said that since the pandemic, people are starting to realize that life is more important, right? So they're not going to be told what to do anymore. Or are they? but that they're going to start living life. Like, now is the time, because I think they all realize that so many things were taken away from them in a heartbeat. Like, literally in a week's time, everything went away. So now people are like, nope, I'm going to change my life. We're going to do it different. Yet there's this balance where so many folks, you hear that there's no jobs and people are losing their jobs and their businesses are going away, yet money is being spent like massively. I saw one of our friends down in Arizona, Nina Barlow, she had posted something about the trails being overrun. And all of our systems, our outdoor systems that we all enjoy and love, all of those systems and all of those groups that maintain them. So I'm talking about BLM, National Park Service, all of those things, they're like, oh God, like how are we going to keep these things going? We're gonna have to start shutting stuff down, which is horrible news for us. But it's new people getting outside and trying to explore things that they know nothing about because they don't want to be told what to do after being told what to do for the last year.
Well, we don't want to be told what to do, but we like being told what to fear. Yeah. And it comes to this lack of knowledge, right? We're not individuals with a pan determined amount of knowledge in our heads, right? We're not omnipotent, right? So we recognize as society becomes more and more specialized, our own knowledge base is more and more specialized. Now, you know, our own public school systems, which are some of the worst in the world, right? Not just in the nation. I mean, California is one of the worst in the nation, but in our general population in the country, it's one of the worst in the world. I was listening to a podcast about a guy who founded, in fact, one of the co-founders of Robinhood, from Bulgaria, I believe. And he came over when he was in grade school and said the stuff that they're learning in like junior high and high school and science and technology in America is the stuff they learn in kindergarten and first grade. America has been always behind because we have this one. We embrace the arts. So like, you know, my own son goes to a kindergarten where both my sons go to kindergarten. And I'd say they spend more time I get more artwork from them every day that comes home than I do like the results of studies or lessons or science or plants or other things that they could also be learning. Right. And that's just the curriculum. So as a nation, we don't focus. I don't believe we focus really on the idea of people having knowledge and the ability to learn and the ability to discern different facts, right from wrong, make decisions, right? We don't really learn that. We learn some basics for how to live in society and do well. But ultimately, since the 1960s, the education system has been dumbed down to the point where you have graduates from high school who can't tell you what their capital of their own state is, or can't tell you who the first president of the United States were. And people, well, we also as Americans believe a lot in personal responsibility. If you didn't learn that in school, it's on you. But How can they graduate not knowing that? How can they get them through the system? But we have a system designed to push people through, not get them out the other side being the best they could be, but push them through so they just get to the other side. And then it's no longer our problem, right? It's kind of like parents who raise their kids until they're 18 and say, now get out of the house. You're not my problem anymore. And the same thing with our school system. Now, you're done. You're through our district. You're not a problem anymore. Oh, now you're going to community college and you're their problem where they're having to teach in community college fundamental education, right? So because of that, we have this thing we don't know. Well, I didn't pay attention to science in school. I don't know if the pandemic or how viruses work. I don't even know what a virus is. All I'm known is I'm supposed to fear it. I don't know what a semi-permeable membrane is. I don't know how filters work. I don't know anything about science in relationship to us. So I'm simply going to listen to somebody else to tell me what I should or shouldn't do. Or the flip side of that is, well, I don't believe in this. I don't believe in the pandemic, or I don't believe in doing things this way, or I don't think you're telling the truth. Well, then some other person who also doesn't know yells on TikTok about, you're just a man, right? And it's who can speak louder. And that's why I love watching some of these videos where you get debates between somebody who knows and a general public, like Louder with Crowder. He's the one who gets out there and does I oppose abortion. Convince me why you oppose that, right? I support gun rights. Tell me why I'm wrong. And just sits there at a table with that and has people come up to him who, and occasionally gets somebody who really has an articulate argument. But it's a difference between the knowledge we know and what we think.
Right.
And so it's easier for us to feed off of our fear than it is for us to feed off of our brains.
Well, and it's, you know, as we've been out here in Florida, and I know our listeners are like, hey, get to the Jeeps. We'll get there.
No.
But
go listen to last episode.
We've stopped at a lot of I'm not going to call them jobbers, because we've stopped at a lot of shops. We've stopped at a lot of off-road shops that are in the Jeep industry, the aftermarket industry. And you know what? One thing is very apparent to me, and I've had to take a step back a little bit, because we are in Florida. And for a lot of our listeners are like, man, there's nowhere to go off road. But you know what? There are places here to go off road. There are shops that specialize in off road, not just, I have in my notes here, not just fitting big tires. So that's a difference,
right?
There's a difference in between, yes. And these jobbers, it's kind of interesting, because we've gone to a lot of places that are gone, or they were hobbyists, they're out of business, they're a lot of shops that did exist, and now they're just not in business anymore. But what I've seen is that the high energy people are one of our really good friends here, Mr. Ricky Ortiz, who we did the podcast with from his house last week at Jeepers Den. He has a large Puerto Rican following, and the people from another country that have seen outside of what the U.S. has to offer, those people are extremely, for the most part, hardworking. And the business owners, I can't compare how much energy these people bring to our industry, and they're doing it to make their businesses successful. And I think the average American opens a business and thinks, this is going to be easy. I'm going to sell Jeep parts because I'm passionate about it, and I'm going to go home at 5 and peace out. Well, let me tell you, Ricky at Jeepers Den, that man does not sleep. Chris Plaisance at Spiderweb Shade does not sleep. Brian, Carolina Metal Masters, does not sleep. I know you, Mattson, you get very little sleep. The success of these companies is all about how hard you're willing to work. It doesn't matter what you make. You can make an awesome, amazing product, and if you don't work it to actually sell it or expose people to it, then there's no place for you in the business world. And some of these folks, I'm going to bed at 10, and these guys are like, what? Like, if we get to bed at 1, we're lucky. Oh, you must own your own business. No, it's not that they own their own business. It's that they own a successful business.
It's true. It is true. Now, I'll say that I'm getting more sleep now that Gary's doing the editing on this. I'm not having to do the editing on this. But you're right. Everybody you and I have ever met in life that has been successful does not follow what other people would see as a norm. I'm going to give an example. So Ed Gold was just in here. Ed Gold is an old friend, a YJ phenomenon. This guy's like the YJ godfather, okay? And he was, I think, our first prototyping of products for YJ back in 2009 was on an Ed Gold rig. He was an original Rev 111 fan, found out about us. He's from Desto area, came up here. We worked together. It was phenomenal. Guys, just an amazing, humble guy. He builds like, what are they called? not telescopes,
observatories.
Observatories. That's the word. Ding, 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 ding. Observatories. He builds observatories, right? He's got these wealthy clients. He builds boats for them, and phenomenal guy. So he's got a ranch that he's responsible for. One of his wealthy clients has this big ranch, not a picky guy. But it's this big ranch and has this area. It probably takes 2 days for somebody to mow it, right? With a push mower, just this 2 days to do it. He can't find somebody to just come and be a handyman on there working a few hours a day, 5 days a week. He just can't find anybody. And for decent pay, I mean, they're paying decent pay over there.
Right.
He had a friend's son come out like, hey, I'm willing to do this, right? Okay, so bring him out and say, here, what do you think? Like, you know, do it over weekend. Just mow it over the weekend. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'll probably do that for like $30 an hour. Like, what are you smoking, dude? Like, where are you gonna go get a job pushing a mower for $30 an hour? For some extra cash on the weekend, right?
Right.
So it's like when you do find that person who is phenomenal, who is a hard worker, we have them here. I mean, I tell you, you know, our HR director, Ray Harris, who came to us from, he sunk his teeth growing up and learning management and everything else in HR at Apple stores, right? From the basic small ones, building them up till he had like 200 people working for him at an Apple store, and learned how to manage those kind of people. And then he was in another retail segment of a bunch of stores that were involved in airports. And while that industry kind of fell apart. And so he came over here one day and kind of helped out because he's a friend of Doug's and he decided he wanted to stay. So now he's our HR director. Well, he's phenomenal. He's a great recruiter and he has gone through and we've found great people. And the people we have, man, when you have great people, you hang on to them tooth and nail. You know, we take care of, we had a phenomenal month last month and everybody got a steak lunch, like a big old New York steak lunch. Why? Because we had a good month and everybody needs to share in that. Right. And we have, but so we're blessed to be able to have it, but it is so hard right now to find people that just want to work.
It's and it's very apparent in the restaurant and any of the hotel management. Everywhere we go is, it's crazy. When we showed up here to this hotel, it took them 2 hours to get us a room, and that was at 6 o'clock at night.
Oh my gosh!
Because there's no cleaning staff, so it takes them. It takes them an entire day to clean the rooms, even though they don't clean the rooms every day.
So now we're getting to conspiracy time. See,
yeah.
Now we're at the point where we want the world to think that we can't find employees.
Right.
We have tons of jobs. So we have to allow tens and hundreds of thousands of immigrants come across the border illegally so they can take the jobs that they're not allowed to have because it would be illegal for an employer to hire somebody who is illegal.
Right.
Wait.
Yeah.
What? Oh, okay. So yeah but look, we're dealing in a world and again, I'm sorry to our listeners, we'll get off of this downplay, but we're in a world of runaway inflation. And if you don't think we have runaway inflation right now, I just went down to, you know, you got to Togo's. Right. To have a sandwich. Togo's is our local Subway type shop here. It's the West Coast thing or whatever, but Togo's, right. And it's $12.95 for a foot long sandwich a large, which is kind
everything
of
everything has gone up substantially.
Right? A fast food lunch is going to cost you $15, $15 for a fast food lunch.
Right.
$4. Yeah. And where's that coming from? It's coming from the fact that California's minimum wage right now is $14 an hour. And it's only going to go up. So California is going to be ahead of the curve of the national, right? So all that just goes up. Where does that go? That ends up going in and just costs you more. Where it's $15 to get a lunch at a, I go to Wendy's now and I get the $5 biggie bag, which is because it's probably better for me, but
right.
Like, it's crazy.
Well, so, and I think that, and I know that the prices of wood, the prices of steel, all of our costs of doing business are crazy right now. And you know, we keep hearing about these industry shortages, and I've known now a couple of large, big business off-road shops that literally place 50 and 100 tires on back order every month. There's no tires. There's no steel. They can't get parts. They can't get products. Now, I know we've done a really good job of taking care of that on some of the back end things, but I'm hearing it from all directions. Wood, the cost of a piece of plywood being extremely expensive. And yet I'm also being told that the folks at the wood, at the lumber yards, at these wood warehousing facilities, they have plenty of wood. They just can't get it anywhere because of the shortage of people. So, well,
and that's exactly it. The supply chains issues we're running into are a combination of, like, obviously we have a couple of things. We had a drive shaft issue for a short period of time. Mm-hmm. And so we actually went through different channels, including talking to our buddy James over at Adams. But what was the problem? It was the problem was, is that, you know, we don't make the drive shaft, so we get it from somebody else who does, right? But right. they are all dependent on their components and parts from another national supplier, and that national supplier has some priorities. You send it to the small guy, or do you send it to your OE clients, right? Where do you decide? The same with the mills. The mills are having a challenge as to how they're allocating their steel, right? You're going to send it to, you know, East Coast or the West Coast. And for a while, there was a thing where all of it was going to the East Coast, and right. the West Coast wasn't getting it. So there, plus for those of you that are out there importing stuff, you know, we've talked about that. You've talked about that 10-mile radius out there in the middle of Long Beach,
yep.
In a harbor, and just of ships just waiting to go. So
I talked to a guy who runs a restaurant in Orlando, outside of Orlando area. And I felt like I was kind of an informed guy, because I'm like, yeah, and how about chicken? And, you know, we heard in the media that the chicken shortages are caused by KFC and Chick-fil-A and all these companies competing for this chicken sandwich. So they've created this huge demand on the supplies of chicken. And so we're running out. And the guy looked at me and he goes, no, that's not the case at all. He has a restaurant. He owns a restaurant. Wings are on his menu, but it's not his title. He's not a wings mainly based shop. And he said, again, there's nobody to run the chicken facilities to process the chicken. It's not a matter that there's not enough. There's always been enough. There's just nobody to get it to your plate.
Been challenging. It's really tough going out to eat. It gets to a point where I don't want to, or the service just stinks.
I
I'm usually not a complainer, and we don't complain, but when we were
in
West Palm Beach,
West Palm Beach.
I had it. I was just over it. And they gave us our food for free, but that wasn't when I was trying to make sure the manager knew they had, you know, specialized in all this fresh food. And I'm like, I can make it myself.
It's really bad when you go to so Jesse complained to the manager, and he was like, oh, mm-hmm. I'll just take all the food off your bill. Like that.
Well, we make it every day fresh. I'm like, no, you got it out of a frozen bag.
Well, listen, it's going to be like, and I know you guys will handle this, because you have some great caterers for Moab, but it's kind of like when we were over in Moab and we went and had that steak dinner.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, how hard is it to have somebody going a cook back there to cook the steaks right, and they couldn't cook any of our food right?
Well,
right?
Speaking of Moab, I've run into some issues with the catering too. No one wants to do it on that weekend because they're short staffed and don't have enough people to do it.
Oh wow!
So I've had a little bit of challenges, but I've got it handled. So.
No, our event will still be amazing, and we've got some really good people that are going to make us some food. And again, it's that whole, we're paying more and more for some of these services, especially in the hotel and restaurant management areas. We're paying more to stay at a hotel that no longer provides any
food,
any
coffee, towels.
No cleaning, no towels. No. So at what point do we go, you know what, I'm not going to pay you. But you know what, these places are packed. There's still people here. I don't think people are equating the two. They're not putting it together and going, wait a minute, I'm paying more but getting less. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I'm okay with that.
Well, that's it, there's a trend that's been happening towards that, right? More and more. Like, let's just use supermarkets. Self-checkout at supermarkets.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right. My wife hates that because it's like, wait, I'm going to pack my own stuff. I'm going to do all this work that you would normally do, and I don't get a discount.
Right.
Right. So whereas I'm going to stand on, I want somebody to take care of me. I want somebody to, I'm paying for a certain level of service. Well, as we get to more and more of a society where, look, Amazon, this whole Amazon now, whatever that store is, Amazon Go, where you walk in and you with yeah. your stuff and you walk out with your groceries and you don't see anybody.
Nope.
Right. That's there's a whole thing. But it also comes to, we like this online convenience. Mm-hmm. And we're living in a life of online convenience. Well, what do you don't run into anybody in online convenience. Now, I'm going to use an example just from Mother's Day. Mother's Day, we decided to have Thai food. We also delivered some, took some Thai food over to my in-law's house, right? And so I went online to our favorite little Thai restaurant, who, by the way, during the pandemic and everything we shut down, was doing a phenomenal job. You went over there and they had this bank of like three or four mobile devices mm-hmm. up, popping out the different, you know, different orders. And they had a whole operation going on to be able to do Grubhub and all these other things, right? And that was the focus of their business. Now, things are opened up in California. Sacramento County's fine. They can have dine-in service. So I go online and I order my food with their new online app that's on their website for ordering and pickup. So I order it to pick up and it says, I ordered at 7 o'clock. It'll be ready at 7:40. 40 minutes, a little bit longer than I would expect, but that seems like ample time. So I went down to the store, grabbed a little ice cream, and then I went over there, and at 7:41, I walked up. It's going to be another 15 minutes, sir. Are you sure? Well, it actually said it's not ready yet. Well, how long is it going to be? Oh, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 minutes. Like, I got ice cream in the car. Your app told me it was ready at 7:40. I mean, come on, I was a little irritated. Come on, let's just make this happen. I didn't get my food till 8:05. Now their dining room was full. Do you think anybody in the dining room waited an hour for their food?
No.
No, it's just they're in this changing dynamic now where they're prioritizing the diners over the people ordering online, but they're not communicating it. So, and again, I'm sure they're probably short staffed. I'm sure there's other problems that are happening, but we're feeling the ramifications of a year of change. And we're going to feel those for a while.
Right? That's exactly right.
And on a pure Jeep side of it, yes. I mean, it has been incredible for people to be able to go and do what they want to do to build their Jeeps. We're having shops call us all the time that are our shops that are simply frustrated by the level of service or lack thereof they're getting from other manufacturers and inability to get product from other manufacturers, even made in USA manufacturers who simply haven't done. And there's transitioning over to us. And we just hope that we do a good job by them. Doesn't mean that we're perfect. We had a challenge with drag links. Drag links are now back in stock, but it was a material issue. We couldn't get the material.
Right.
And drive shafts are now solved. So it puts us behind for 2 to 4 weeks on what we tell people, 1 to 2 weeks to ship. And obviously, you know, it's 3 to 4 weeks or 5 to 6 weeks or whatever. And we're trying to stay in communication with people about it, but we're back in and we handle it the best we can. But we are all subject to the ability of anything else to actually get there. We're subject to material issues. We're subject to our suppliers. We're subject to our own staffing, which again, we've been phenomenally lucky and very blessed to have good staffing. But you're seeing it everywhere you're going with all these different.
Oh products. Yeah, it's shipping times. You know, we were also used to being able to send something and it gets there in a day or two or three at the most, and now it's a week or 10 days, or it sat in a hub for 2 weeks and nobody can find things. It's kind of crazy, mm-hmm. And we're seeing it at all levels. But you know, we do have Moab coming up. And
let's talk about fun stuff.
Yeah.
Moab, and I'm already thinking about Tillamook too. I mean, we got Moab and Tillamook almost back to back.
Tillamook is definitely on our horizon, as well as Colorado. We've got a whole lot going on still. Moab is in a couple of weeks, and I want to briefly touch on radios. So I know in our past, we've had Greg Cottrell from Rugged on our show, and there's changes. There's a lot of changes. It is a fluid situation, right? So we've done such a good job in the past of selling people on business or what we call race radios. I think there's a lot of confusion out there still. And we need to probably get either Dustin, their marketing manager now at Rugged, or Greg back on the show at some point. Because I had, for the folks that are attending Moab, I had sent out an email saying, hey, by the way, we have a discount code through Rugged Radios. And you can definitely jump on their website and get yourself a GMRS radio, which has caused a lot of confusion. And I forget that we maybe haven't done a really good job of saying, you know, for the last 4 years, we've been, the little blue radios have been kind of a standard. And we've all just ran whatever channels and frequencies, and people have complained and people have said, well, you're not licensed to do that, yet everybody does it anyway. Well, so now we're switching. We're changing our path. We're going down this GMRS, these family radio frequency standards. And the GMRS, what happened is just a few years ago, the FCC said, hey, look, we'll give you GMRS. And you can even up the wattages, because before like 2017, the wattages were very, very low. So people, you know, the little handheld walkie-talkies that you get at Walmart and whatever, people were using those and they're like, yeah, but it's kind of like they were like toys, more or less. So in 2017, the FCC said, hey, we're going to give you some higher wattages. You can run up to 45 watts, 50 watts, on certain frequencies within the GMRS standards. Okay, so they did that and nothing really happened because so many folks were still using some of the race radios or the business band channels. Well, the business band, let me clarify, the business band frequencies are those companies pay to have those channels. For you to talk on those channels really isn't legal, really. You can, it's not right. So the FCC said, look, you guys have these frequencies that you can use. Why don't you go use them? Now, Rugged went, hey, look, we're going to have an agreement with the FCC. Rugged got a few of their own licensed channels, their own frequencies with the FCC nationally. I think there's four that are nationally licensed to use on these business band radios. Okay, that solved part of the problem. A lot of the other channels are licensed. Now, this is on a Rugged branded radio. If you go out and you buy some Amazon radio, I'm not talking about any of that. You're on your own. So on the Rugged branded radios, there are certain frequencies that Rugged has worked with the FCC to license. Now, that list is on their website. You can go and check it out. It's licensed for locations. So, for example, in Moab, there's a channel. The text of the channel is LOCOMO, L-O-C-O-M-O. That is a licensed FCC licensed channel through Rugged on their branded radios that you can use in Moab. The problem with that is crosstalk, right? We've all been talked over. Now, when we're out in Death Valley, we use GMRS. We've decided that, and Rugged has made the switch. It's a cleaner, you know, even Jeep Jamboree USA, they've all gone to the GMRS side, which now is really cool because it's a higher wattage, very powerful set of frequencies. There's no squelch issues. There's no issues like we used to have with CBs and all that other stuff. So we tested it out at Death Valley. Del Albright and our group, we were talking to each other 20 plus miles apart, straight line distances. Wow. with no interference. So granted, is it capable? Yes. Now, I've heard mixed reports of, oh, but in canyons and stuff, you can't. We used GMRS the entire time we were out in Death Valley, and we had no issues. So we're working with rugged.
That's huge.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm throwing it out there that I challenge somebody to say, well, GMRS is for toys. And, you know, rugged right now has in stock their handhelds. And their handhelds come with an external microphone. They're really actually a decent radio. We'll be using those exclusively. And for the folks that don't understand and don't get it, go to Rugged Radio's website and go to their support page and click on licensing. And it talks all about the different bands and how this all works together. We're not trying to, I didn't want to confuse people. I didn't want to throw something new out there. That wasn't my intention at all. But I've had a few folks already call me and say, you gave us a little blue radio before. We can't use that. I'm not going to tell you that you can't use it, because the little blue radios, if you want to get into the programming of them, which you're on your own, you can go to RTT Systems, you can buy a cable, you can download the software, you can program your own radios. I'm out. That's not something that we can really stand behind, because you're going to do it on your own. Those frequencies are available in those radios. I can't program them for you. We can't program them for you. Modern Jeeper can't program them for you. If you want to do that on your own, it's fine. It's a rugged branded radio. It'll work. But I'm telling you, the GMRS radios are not that expensive and they work really well. So it's easier. In my LJ, I run two. Yes, I have the business band radio still, and a GMRS radio. Yeah, is that necessary? No, but I'm guessing over time, the business band radio will probably go away. If you're into the racing side of stuff and you still communicate with the teams and all that kind of stuff, I get it. You gotta have both. It's just the way it is. I'm sorry, we've all carried CBs forever. And then we bought
what's a CB?
Do you write? Citizens band, like, yeah, those were great. When you get that guy talking like this,
I just want to use my phone everywhere.
Yeah, like, why don't you just call me?
Yeah, like, just call me. Here's my number. Call me.
So a short story, really long. Rugged has, we have a great relationship with those guys, and we're not trying to confuse anybody. We're not trying to do now something again different. GMRS and FRS, the family radio service, has been around for a long time. The GMRS added some additional channels and some additional power through the FCC. All of what we do, all of how we communicate, is all through the FCC. The business band radios that come on your little blue radio, FCC regulated. All of them. For the guys going, oh, now I got to buy a license. And yeah, I think that it's now $30 and it's 10 years. Yeah.
So
you got to fill out a form.
This is great. This is great. I mean, the GMRS, understanding GMRS, and I didn't understand it to the depth you just explained it. You know, all of Metal Cloak's rigs are being outfitted with GMRS. We're adopting that as our standard. And yep. I just hope that everybody else does too. I mean, it really can be. And it's great to hear the how well it did.
Yeah, they were great. No squelch, no crosstalk. There's a lot of sub channels. There's a lot of things you can even do with the included 22 GMRS channels. And we didn't need to do any of it. Like, we were just using a regular standard. I think we're on channel 7 or something. Like, it just worked. And again, this communication is FCC regulated. So this whole licensing thing, it's kind of like the guys who go, well, I'm not going to get my ham license. I don't want to go through the time and the challenges and all that kind of stuff. You know what? You don't have to. But for $30 for 10 years, it's a family license? Come on.
Yeah, it makes sense. And good. It's good to be legal too. Who knows? Yeah. Maybe maybe we'll force the issue and start requiring, we'll throw the licensing into the Modern Jeeper Adventure registration.
Yeah.
Just we to, could do just that. Expand it.
I sent out a, and it's, I will say that the FCC is, they're trying. There's their link to get a license is a little bit, you got to kind of do some digging. You kind of got to play around with it and click on the form that you need to submit. But I did it when it was $70. And I think it took 48 hours. And I got an electronic confirmation that,
I'm getting a call from Mason Borobapti.
Oh, yeah, you should take that.
Mason Borobapti. I missed his call.
I'm sure it's very important.
It's the DEA. They're going to come get you.
Yeah, Mason Borobapti. Warning me.
FCC enforcement.
Warning me. He's warning me. You don't want that. No, you don't want that. Put down the phone. Well, you know, it is amazing. You just look at the technologies that we've dealt with. And this is just an evolution, right?
Yes.
Every product you have in your Jeeps, guys, right now, I don't care if it's your first Jeep or your 20th Jeep, it's evolved from original idea to evolution to rev changes to changes over time to the point that we're riding. Somebody goes out and buys a JL, first Jeep ever, and puts a bunch of product on, and then has a couple of issues with some basic things like maybe fitment or something else, or just performance. They don't, you know, the first question you have is this your first Jeep? And at some point in time, all of our Jeeps were our first Jeeps, right? And at some point in time, you figure things out, and some point in time evolved. We just happen to be living in a world now where somebody can go spend $55,000 to $80,000 for a brand new Jeep and still drop $20,000 to $30,000 on it, not counting labor to have it all installed. And then wants it to be a certain level, which is fantastic. It's a wonderful time to be in the Jeeping world. But the evolution of things, they do change. Rugged Radios is doing the same thing. They are changing. They are evolving. If you don't evolve, you die, right? You don't change, you die. And that's right. So they're evolving. We've evolved. All of us have evolved. Jeep evolved. And Jeep evolved to the point they can convince us to buy an $80,000 392 because, of course, we need it.
But we're going to run out of fuel. So I'm not sure what those people are going to do now.
I guess we'll get electric.
Yeah. I want the military diesel. They can run on, hair oil. I don't have a lot of that, but it would run off of hair oil.
Well, and I will say that we've had a lot of talk in the last number of weeks just because of where we are. We are in Florida, and people go, well, how can there even be off-road shops down here? Let me clarify that there are a few off-road shops. There are a lot of shops that are tire fitment centers.
Tire fitment centers.
Yes.
TFCs.
TFCs. Yes.
TFCs.
Put a pop rest on and you're good to go.
If you just want to put a 42 on a 25 inch, 26, 28 wheel, like there are shops that will take care of that. And there's a lot of that in Florida. And people go, well, that's just dumb. But you know what? Those people are still in Jeeps, they're still enthusiasts. They do different things with their Jeeps than maybe I would do, that Jesse would do, and that Mattson would do. Metal Cloak, as an off-road suspension manufacturer, it's probably a little different. And to get somebody to go, well, why would – it was amazing to have the LJ on the CTI trailer in West Palm Beach, and people go – it was kind of fun because there were a handful, maybe two or three people that came over and go, oh, there are real Jeeps at this show. And I was like, but they're all real Jeeps. And they were like, no, there's only a couple. And so I didn't understand that. Those folks spend a ton of money. Their rigs are literally amazing. Are they going to follow us on a trail? No, they don't live in Colorado or California or anywhere that there's any trails like that. It's a different aspect of the hobby.
It is, but it is still, and that's what the Modern Jeeper community was all about. We started the Modern Jeeper community to embrace all Jeepers. I don't care if you're going up, if you spend every weekend finding the hardest waterfalls to climb up and winch up and break your stuff on, or you just simply have a Jeep because it's a great convertible for you and your family, and you want to have it a little lifted and a little built, and you don't even know what four low work is. It doesn't matter, right?
That's right.
You have a Jeep, you're part of the Jeep community, and the Jeep community is all about freedom. Freedom is self-defined. Let's remember that, guys. Freedom is self-defined. What is free for you is a little different than what's free for me, right?
That's right.
It's how you spend your time and how you get out and do stuff and what you're going to do with your time and what is important with your time. That's what is freedom. We live in a great country where you can define that for yourself. You know, if you choose, now let's go down a political mountain. If you choose to be a slave to the system, that's your choice. But you have the choice.
Ricky's like, are you hanging up on me, man?
Uh-oh. Yeah. Like you have the choice of what ringtone you choose for somebody.
You can buy cryptocurrency. You don't have to understand what it is. I don't know what it is, but it's a freedom that I could buy it if I want.
That's right, baby. I got some crypto. It's you got crypto?
Just recently, and that's a whole nother conversation.
Doge to the moon, baby. Doge to the moon.
I'm going to unplug you from power, and we're going to walk out on our balcony just so we can kind of get a different perspective.
But it just started pouring down rain, so the beach is like empty.
It's pouring down rain here.
All of a sudden.
Oh, well, you know, that's kind of like, that's tropical life. It's called the tropics for a reason. Well, technically Florida's not, but you know.
But you're not going to be able to, we might not be able to hear you for a second, but I'll be right back. Oh, it's really
It shouldn't be as loud since there's not as many people on the beach. Wow. Now that's a view. Nice. How far down is it to the pool? Wow.
Okay.
Guys,
going back inside.
If you're watching us on YouTube, you can see that view. 12th floor.
12th floor. Pouring down rain. It's rain. It rains a lot here.
Mm-hmm. That's why it's so humid, right?
Yeah.
Wait, you guys switch.
See how we did that?
Wow.
Juxtaposition.
Oh, that's a heck of a word.
So we took quite the adventure talking about adventures on Saturday.
Nice.
At 8 a.m.
What did you do?
Ricky got his kayaks out, and we went down a very special riverway, and they were like, you lead. You sit in the front, you lead. I was like, okay, I'll lead. So I'm rowing. I know there's gators in Florida, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Till we came up on one.
That didn't look even I thought was a tree. Like, he saw there were trees everywhere, like obstacles to go around, and it wasn't moving. I'm like, I don't think that's one. Until I bumped it, and it was an 8-foot giant big alligator. You want to see
mad?
Somebody freak the freak out? He couldn't stop the GoPro long enough because I was
I was trying to film, and literally she was in high reverse, and so I'm like, and I saw what she was afraid of, and she was having none of it. So
huge.
Yeah, it was pretty amusing.
I mean, I could see it, and I could have probably put my hand in the water and touched it.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I hit its head, and then it went under and didn't like it. And so I went backwards, and they were all laughing at me.
You hit its head?
I did this on purpose.
You hit his head?
I hit him. He wasn't moving. I just went and went.
Ding, with the kayak.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, yeah, I was going to say you didn't like try to whack him or anything with your paddle.
I didn't want to be in the water. I guess you're not going on they had a rope swing. She goes, I guess you're not going to go on the rope swing.
Literally, for 30 minutes afterwards, she is like
vibrating. Wow.
We saw some good ones out there.
Yeah. Nice. That's what an adventure.
You jerk faces. You did this on purpose.
It was an adventure. You survived it.
I did. But
that's nothing to compare to racing Jeeps.
I'd rather race Jeeps.
Wow. Yeah,
so that was fun.
That's cool though. Cooling down. And so this has been quite a little this little waterway for
There's a lot of little reserves or preserves around Orlando area. So we never, I wanted to take her to see manatees and stuff like that. We never got to see any manatees, but well, other than
the one
went down to the Keys.
I saw one.
But yeah, it's kind of funny, you know, and just something that crosses my mind. So as long as we've been out here, it's interesting to me that literally you can go on these little 1-2 hour, I don't know, off the beaten path excursions if you want to see Florida. It doesn't take a lot of time. You know, I'm used to like, oh, well, we're going to go, if we're going to go kayaking, that's going to be like all day. Well, no, you can go do that in a couple hours and then just come back and like Ricky, like he then goes to work. So it's not, it's just interesting that you can enjoy a lot of things if you make time and you plan and you just go do what you want to do. You can still work hard. You can still get the job done. It doesn't have to be, oh, I'm 24 hours a day slaving away at this computer. Like, take a break, go see it. You can still get it done. Now, I'm a little freaked out because we haven't been home in so long. I told her today, I'm like, I kind of got to go home because there's so many things that you can't leave your house for a month.
You're going to come back and it's going to be homesteaded. Colorado's not a homestead state, or
people live in there.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Hey, what's up?
It's not homesteading. What's the word I'm thinking of?
What can we do for you? I live my home.
Yeah. No. You see, it's our stuff here. Yeah. Right. Thankfully, we've never promoted exactly where you live.
Quick, right. Send me a text message. I don't know.
But that's where you kind of miss your old cleaning lady you had for so long.
Yes.
Well, she just would come in once a week and just make sure things were together.
Sue, I miss you. So we will get the registration up for Colorado. For our listeners, Madison and I will work on that, getting that up. It's going to be extremely limited.
Yes.
I'm thinking we're going to have 10 rigs.
10 and, paid spots or 10 total?
Huh?
10 paid spots?
10 paid people that want to show up.
Yeah. Okay,
it's
cool.
It's going to be extra special. So we've been discussing it heavily on what we want to do.
It's going to be, you're going to be at my house.
What's the date?
It's going to be Labor Day weekend.
Oh, that's right. Labor Day weekend. Huh. Interesting.
So because the reason we're doing Labor Day weekend is the next weekend, Jesse has a girls' run on the Rim Rocker, and the following weekend is JJ USA's trip in Uray.
That's why.
So we don't want to. Labor Day weekend is going to be busy, but
it ain't gonna be as bad.
Two weekends is going to be Jeep Jamboree USA, and that'll be extremely busy.
Well, maybe we'll try to figure something out because I'd like to come out to that one, but I might throw the family into the RV and head out to Colorado Springs.
Yeah, cool.
Because my uncle lives out there and leave them there and then come out and join you guys for the trip.
We'll figure it out for sure. But of course, in the meantime, you know, Tillamook's already full. Moab is full. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have a fall Death Valley. I don't have any real details on that yet. And when that registration comes about, it's probably going to be quick. It's going to be after SEMA, the week after SEMA. Ricky, there is a number of folks traveling from Florida to California again to make that happen. So
Just
FYI for the folks that are following us, I'm not sure we'll get a Georgia Traverse event in this year. Oh my gosh. So that's another thing the pandemic has created is this demand for events. We are literally being bombarded with requests. And you know what? We were happy to support. Please make it a Jeep-related event because we're getting requests to support events that have nothing to do with Jeeps, which is odd. Again, if you're a veteran, that kind of thing, I get it. We will help you as best we can. But But please, hopefully it's a Jeep related. I mean, if you're watching this, you've got to be a modern Jeeper, right?
Right, right. You know about us as a modern Jeeper. So you must have some sort of connection to Jeeps. Just right. Make it a connection to Jeeps and we'll be there. We'll be supporting. And right. You guys out there, Jesse's the one putting all together. I mean, if you, for donations and stuff, we love to donate and support. And we tend to be pretty generous about what we do donate. So if you do have a Jeep related event, fill out the form online. Don't send an email to Jesse. Don't send an email to Corey. Don't send an email to Mattson or to the sales department or use our online form for just communication. Hi, I want to donate something. And please don't be impersonal about it. Take the time to actually like say, hi, Metal Cloak, or, you know, and just go out there and do it. But there is a form on our website under the contact page for event sponsorship. Yeah. It's got a lot of stuff on it. It's not like a quick, easy form. But the reason is because we want you to take the time. And if you fill that out, we think you're sincere.
And we want to know. We want to know about your event. So
right.
the folks that just say, hey, you know what? This, I get it. There's a lot of companies out there that will send you a bag of keychains. That's what you're getting. That's your support. Here's a bag of keychains or here's a bag of stickers. That's not what we do.
No, so and that benefits the company more than it benefits you and your attendees. Right.
When you're asking for us, our support, it's significant. So sometimes we're able to give you something. Sometimes we hold off. First year events are always a challenge for us because we don't know how it's going to turn out. But we're not talking about a bag of keychains or some stickers. We're talking about $1,000 worth of product. So when you request things, know that we'll do our best and we'll evaluate your event as best we can.
Absolutely, very well said. Very well said. So yeah, it just kind of a little side note. I got a couple of these little tumbler cups, right, for like drinking, which I don't actually do, but it's kind of, they're nice, and inside. There's this little thing in there. It says Clearwater Distilling Company Investor. So I've been doing a little bit of angel investing, like for a little, and it's a really interesting thing, guys. If you're out there and you're in the world and there's a great growing world. We talked about Doge and we talked about, you know, cryptocurrency. We can do a whole show on that and direct investing, but being involved at a basic level and investing in startup companies that have a little bit of a history and doing it as a, you can do it as an accredited investor, which I am, or you can do it as a unaccredited where you're just doing a retail investment into a company. And the SEC has opened it up to allow anybody to go out and be able to invest. And people set up on a number of different sites that are out there. This is one that I invested in. I think, you know, alcohol is a great investment if you have the right company, because it seems to,
why not?
Everybody yeah. drinks it, right? So I got they these do. Little cute little clear water, this. And then another one I invested is a local one called Circles. And I invested in primarily because they're local, but it's called Circles. I posted on my Facebook page. It's Circles with an S. And it's going to be a Yelp. Their goal is to destroy Yelp. Really, there is to replace Yelp, but the play on it is it's a circle of friends. You are part of your circle of friends are the people you trust the most. So those are the reviews that you are communicating about and getting from. So it's within your circle of friends that you're sharing your reviews, not just what a bunch of random people say about a place. Right. So, and it also doesn't have the whole business side of it where as a business owner, if you're a business owner, you know, you get phone calls all the time. Hi, I'm your Yelp assistant. I'm your Yelp supporter.
Right.
We can get you up local and expand your local presence with Yelp. It only costs $1,000 a month for advertising. Right. And I'm sorry, I'm not really interested. We're not local. Oh, but, you know, if you don't do that. Right. So it's like it's a whole scam to some degree. Right. And I'm sorry, I have yet to actually go someplace based on Yelp reviews because I just don't trust them. But Circles is a great one. Circles, a new one. They're out of their, they're in their basic crowdfunding moment. They're actually live. They went through their beta. It's a beautiful app, real easy to use. And so again, it's all about your friends, your circle of friends and what they think about a restaurant, a place or a location.
Interesting. I like it.
So my breakouts for, again, Modern Jeeper, we talk about all kinds of stuff, including.
That's right. Yep.
Alcohol, you know, and what? Investments.
And so many folks their Jeep is their investment. It is their lifestyle, and it enables them to take their families out to places. And Yep, that there's nothing wrong with that either. It's amazing Absolutely. That the Jeep industry as a whole, the Jeep owner on average, has some spare cash laying around. Their Jeep may or may not be their daily driver. It's probably not their only rig in the garage. So so all of these little interesting tidbits for investing. I mean, we just want you all to be successful so that you can join us on Modern Jeeper Adventures.
Absolutely, right? And that's what it is. We have we're in a world now where people have we have money because we're buying stuff because we're spending more money because we're buying stuff because we're spending more money, right? And why? Because we didn't have to spend money on the stupid stuff last year.
That's right.
Right? And now we get to go out and do it. Besides the fact that it's okay to go out and just say, hey, you know what? Screw it. I want to do something that might be a little bit different. And building your Jeep is just that. So I hope you guys are out there in the Modern Jeeper world, are out there having fun, having your adventures, planning your adventures. We're excited, so excited to have the Moab trip coming up. This will be our fourth Modern Jeeper Adventure Moab,
yeah,
which was our first way back when. And honestly, it's kind of, I think we've done these where they're now more and more focused on smaller groups. I think our first year we thought we're going to do 50, and it was better. I think we ended up at 25 or 30 or whatever we had, but now we found like we really just enjoy taking 15 or 20 people out and just doing a small trip because it's just greater for everybody.
Yeah. I had a guy, he sent me he called me actually this afternoon and said, so what trails are we doing? And is there a sign up sheet? And you know what? One of the things that we need to get away from is the way that we've always done things, right? So typically you go to an event, I got to sign up for a trail and that's not our way. These are more like ultimate adventures. They're more like, you may not know where we're going. And that's specific. There's a reason. If you don't like those type or style of adventures, then maybe these aren't for you. But I guarantee you, we're not going to let you down. We're going to take care of you, all your needs. We're not going to put you in situations that you're not going to enjoy. And we're making sure that we're taking you to places that you may have or may not seen. All the places, especially when it's regarding the West, these are public lands. You can go out there and enjoy any of them on your own for free anytime. So any of these Jeep Jamboree USA, Jeep Jamboree USA events that you've attended, these aren't places that nobody pays to go. Even in Moab, like, we get it. We're going to take you out there. We're going to show you a good time, and we're going to make sure you get off the trail safe. It may not be one of the trails that you've seen on a list of what they run during Easter Jeep Safari. That's just the way our events work. Colorado, I ain't telling you where we're going at all. Tillamook, there's some areas in Tillamook that, yeah, that'll be a general idea of where we're going to go, but there, it's not like we got to follow a dotted line. So again, open mind and open heart. These events are about relationships and about meeting others with like minds. It's about other modern Jeepers. So,
yeah, you know, it's interesting as you're saying that in the background on my video, for those that are watching, is the time with Scott and I are on the Rubicon trip from 2019. And the moment you're watching is where at the very end, usually by around the final dinner, the final night, we like to give away a little bit of gift cards and support. And really, it's not just like, oh, here's some people. It's like you really build a relationship with these people. And we give out some awards for the most improved and for the people that tried the hardest. And just, we had a guy up there just a second ago. He was older than dirt. He had been on the Rubicon Trail, what was it, some 50 years ago. And came back again. It was even maybe longer than that, and came back again to do it with his family. And it was just fantastic and amazing. And I'm just watching that and just the friendship and the camaraderie, and it says a lot about these trips. They're not impersonal. right? We're not trying to just have a bunch of people go through. And unlike somebody who I shall not name, who when I ask, hey, where's somebody at? Oh, I have no idea. Like, it's just, it's whatever the organization's going on. It's just some big event. It doesn't matter. The details and the people just didn't seem to matter.
That's right.
Well, the details and the people matter to us. And that's why we're doing what we're doing. So we appreciate all of you that have been a part of it. And we hope all of you get a chance to be a part about future. And I know the question has come up time and again. When is Rubicon registration going to go live? Well, that is going to be in June. We're working out some details as final just to make sure that everything's happening. But the goal is June for the Rubicon Trail to be live. And cool. Are you coming to that one?
I think I've got some dates marked out on our calendar of us to be out there. But good. Again, it'll
I don't need to.
Yeah.
Who's hauling my Jeep out there is what I want to know.
We're going to ship it. We'll ship it FedEx.
Oh, it'll never
go. Don't maybe go down that path. Okay. That being said, I'm moving on. All right, my friends. Well, hey, Modern Jeepers, thank you for joining us for another great episode. If you liked this episode, smash that like button.
Hit that like button.
Absolutely. Smash it. Subscribe. Like it. Subscribe. Be a part of it. And, you know, if you want to, if you really do like this and you listen to it on your favorite podcast player, especially you just go and hit like and let them know and leave a review on Apple Podcasts if you would, because that's what helps other Jeepers to discover.
That's right.
We only have so many reach. The reason we really know, we don't spend a bunch of money on this, right? We don't spend a bunch of money marketing this for everybody. We just do it for the fun of it. And if you it and you want to share some of us and there's lots of different episodes, this is episode 116, I believe. And there's a lot of different stuff. If you didn't want to listen to so much about politics, that's fine. There's other episodes that are specific. Go check them out. But let us know what you think. Let us know what you want to hear. And in the meantime, you know, you can reach me, Matt@MetalCloak.com, Jesse@MetalCloak.com, Corey@MetalCloak.com, and on the social media sites, ModernJeeper.com, ModernJeeperAdventures.com, ModernJeeperForum.com. And we hope to see you someplace on the trails.
Cheers.
See ya.
This podcast will self-destruct in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.